Romans chapter 8, I'm going to begin reading with verse 35. Rebecca, I'm starting with verse 35, so you can back up a couple of verses from the notes that I sent to you. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Those are natural disasters, things that happen in life to people all over the world, regardless of whether you are saved or not saved. Does it make any difference? All of us have these things that take place in our life. And he says, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, and we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. And then he highlights persecution, or the things that you have to go through because you're saved, because you're doing it for Jesus. Sometimes when you serve the Lord, it's not always an easy road, is it? Sometimes when you serve God, you come into opposition and people don't like it and they persecute you and they try to put you down and cause you problems because you serve the Lord. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded. I like that. That neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come. Those are the supernatural forces that oppose you and that come against you. Now, you wouldn't even know these existed unless you are saved and you have a touch from God. Then you understand these things do exist. For most people, it's just the first part that they get trapped in and get stuck in because they have no awareness or recognition that these other forces are opposing them. But they do. Neither height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And that word able refers to dynamo. A dynamite and the power. In other words, these things have absolutely no power over a true Christian who is fully persuaded that God is able. That means that none of these things have an ounce of resource. They don't have permission. That's what the word dynamo can mean in the text here. Is that they don't have permission to destroy you. Man, that's good news to know. The devil does not have permission to destroy you. He does not. He does. And here's the key that you insert into the lock and either turn it off or turn on the power to destroy. These things either have power by your ability to be persuaded. If you're persuaded, it turns them off. If you just are hesitant and you're not, it turns it back on. So the power dynamic is, and my text is simply this, I am persuaded. Now, I said it, you clapped, but that's not good enough. See, that would be good in some churches. Now, in some churches, they would probably escort y'all out for even clapping. But the thing is, that's good. I'm glad you clapped, but that's not good enough. You need to turn to your neighbor and say, I am persuaded. That's the key right there. And that's what I hope to place in your spirit, and I want you to use it every day for the rest of your life. God bless you. You may be seated. To be fully persuaded and or determined is best defined as having a strong mindset or a feeling that you're going to accomplish something, that you have a goal and you are focused on that goal. You're focused on a point of purpose. And when you focus light on a single point through a magnifying glass, it lights things up it burns with fire. And Paul knows that and understands that there are things that oppose you and get in the way of this persuasion and determination, because the devil cannot make you backslide, and he does not have permission to kill you, and he does not have permission to take you out. And he cannot take you out of God's love. He cannot take you out of the church unless you allow him. Paul knows that he opposes you, and he's doing everything he can to change your persuasion. To be sure, there are things that want to separate us from the love of God and what God wants to give us. But at some point, church, we have to have a made up mind. I am persuaded. I'm persuaded that the apostolic message is right. I am persuaded that Acts 2:38 is the new birth. I've got a made up mind that living for God is a fight. And you need to understand this. There is no such thing as coasting into heaven. There is no such thing as surfing into heaven. It is a fight every day. Don't look at me like that. Oh, I want some peace in my life. You can have the peace of God rule in your heart in the very midst of the battle, because you know you're assured of the victory. Don't tell me we're not going to win this fight, but I need somebody that'll stand up and say, I'm willing to fight, and I've got a made up mind that I'm going to fight. I love it when people fight for the church. I love it when people fight for the name of Jesus. And I'm not talking about fighting flesh and blood, for we don't fight against flesh and blood. You have to understand that. When I talk about a fight, I'm not talking about punching somebody in the mouth, even though you might want to. I'm not talking about hitting somebody or stomping on their toe. I'm talking about you fighting the forces that are trying to change your persuasion. I'm talking about you standing up on the inside of your spirit and say, I am persuaded. Because living for God is not for the faint-hearted. I'm going to tell you that right now. This is not for sissies. This is not for the faint-hearted. There are mountains to climb. I'm not going to lie to you. There's a price to pay to serve God. I said, there's a price to pay to serve God. I'm not going to hide that from you and act like if you get this, it's always going to be strawberries and cream. It's just not going to be. I don't care what Brother Stone King talks about, that cottage cream from England. It's a wonderful thing, but it's not always that way. There's sometimes it's like shoe leather. Sometimes you walk in here and there's resistance. And sometimes the devil is fighting your mind and everybody else is jumping up and down and you wanting to shut everybody up because you're in a bad mood. There's always something going on. There are valleys to walk through. There are situations and circumstances that are not conducive for you to be successful in serving God. But I am persuaded that there is no resistance or opposition in the natural world or even in the supernatural world that can stop you from being the child of God that God wants you to be. Nothing. If you're baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost, the spiritual realm has no authority over you. It doesn't even have a resource. It is not able. There is no resource available. There is no permission. He has no permission. You are off limits. You can praise God as much as you want to, and the devil can't stop you. You can be blessed. You can be persuaded. You can tell the devil, I am a child of God. But there are natural forces that are also against you serving the Lord, because there are things that happen tragically in life that can mess with your thinking. I don't know if you've ever had any of those situations happen, but I've had a few of those situations happen, and they can mess with your mind. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is the enemy against God, for there is not, it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. The truth is, according to my text, the natural and the spiritual world can't hold you back, but the greatest fight that we have is with our carnal mind. Because it's easy for me. I mean, you know, we're singing, praising, and glorifying God, and somebody's preaching all up in your life, and you're here at church, and you got your Sunday best on, and you're just all excited about the Lord, and you're clapping your hands. I said, I am persuaded, and everybody claps. Isn't that wonderful? And wouldn't that be great on Tuesday if that thing would just remain with you right there, that thought? And you don't feel like clapping, and the only thing you want to put on anybody's nose is the fivefold ministry. And you know that you're feeling all of these foes and enemies, and your mind is just a little bit shattered in your emotions. How many of you know that when you get emotions involved in this thing, it can change on you? You say, well, I don't get emotional. Well, the fact that you don't get emotional is a problem too, because you're holding it all in, and all we got to do is pop that balloon, and guess what's going to come forth? It's not going to be good. Too much baggage. I'm telling you, there's conflict in serving the Lord. There is emotional conflict, and it's all right for you to have conflict within you. That carnal mind is the enemy of God. That's the reason why you need preaching. I'm glad you're here today. So I can tell you these things. I want you to insert the key, because I am here to put a persuasion on you and to speak you back to your assurance and your confidence that God has never failed you, not one single time. We went through Ivan, which was a natural disaster, and it just devastated this area, but we made it through, and guess what? It's just a distant memory, and there might be another situation that comes up in your life that will take your faith down and cause great despair, but I say get right back up and make up in your mind, I'm going to forget those things that are behind, and I'm going to reach forth unto those things which are before. I don't count them nothing but loss that I might gain Christ. I'm going to give it all I've got. I may not obtain. I may not touch the hem of his garment. Somebody might get in front of me, but I'm going to give it everything I've got, because I am persuaded that Jesus can make a difference in my life. I am persuaded that if you'll come up here and get the Holy Ghost, it'll be the best thing that's ever happened to you. I'm fully persuaded that if you get baptized in Jesus' name, every sin you have ever committed will be washed away. I'm convinced. I am convinced of this. I'm persuaded that what you gain from serving God is greater than what you will lose. Paul said, everything I lost is nothing but trash. He called it trash. And he used a different word, but I'm just using a little, he called it a different word, but it's trash. Everything, I'm going to just say it and declare it, everything in this world that you think holds value is going to burn with fire. The only thing you've got that's going to last is your relationship with people and your relationship with God. That's it. And so I'm going to focus on what is important. And I believe what's important is knowing that I'm right with God. And everybody here needs to get a single eye and a singular focus. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. You have to be determined. You can't vacillate. You can't go up and down and in and out and back and forth. And one month you're living for God, and then the next month you don't know who you are. One time you're on board, yay, and the next time you couldn't clap your hands if Jesus walked through the door. One minute you're on fire, and then the next we can't find you with a SWAT team, CIA, or the FBI. They don't even know where you're at. I've heard it said that 98% of living for God is a made-up mind, and the rest of it is my stinking attitude. If I can get my mind made up, my attitude right, there is no devil that can stop me. There's no angel that can stop you. There's no principality. There's no power. There's no life. There's no death. There is nothing, not any other creature. Nobody in this church can stop you. The only person that can stop you is you. You're the only person. Nobody had said, but if that person wasn't here, I could serve God. You can serve God if they're sitting right next to you chewing gum. If they're staring you down, say, but they're staring me down. They're hawking me. What am I supposed to do? Get your mind off of what everybody's hawking you with, and you need to start praising God and forget about what they're going to talk about. They're going to talk about you anyway. Get up and praise Him. They're going to say, I'm super spiritual. We know you're not. Don't worry about it. We're not going to listen to them. We know you're barely spiritual at that. Go ahead, praise Him. Quit worrying about what somebody else has got to say. The devil can't make you sin. You can only sin when you are led about by your own lust. You can't sin. The devil can't make you sin. You have to sin. So I've got a made-up mind, a singular focus that nothing's going to stop me. So you've got to get your sight correct. Because your eyes, very important. What you look at and who you look at is very important. The pupil of your eyes dilate to regulate the light. They can either dilate to take in, or they can constrict if there's too much light and shut it down. So if my eye is single, then the whole body is filled with light. But if my eye is evil, then my whole body is evil. And God knows that if we do not take in enough light, we can't see things clearly. That's the reason why you need preaching. I think I've said that before. Oh, I just said it again. That's why you need to be in church and you need to hear preaching. Why? Because it dilates. Because you're constricted and you've just seen the difficulty and you've seen the emotional upheaval and you've seen everything this week. And then all of a sudden, preaching steps in and somebody starts hammering the pulpit. Attention, please. And then your eyesight begins to dilate and the light starts. Oh, yes, this is the most prized possession in all the world. And then you all of a sudden get a different perspective. You realize I'm in the right place. I've made the right choice. I'm serving Jesus. Matthew 6, 22 through 24 says it like this. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if your eye be evil, then thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore that the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? That's very true. Now here's the difference. Here's what's the difference between light and darkness. You got to know who you're serving. The next verse explains it. So what's he talking about? Well, you can't serve two masters. You can't love one and then say, "Well, now I loved him, this one, but I love this one too." No, there's no such thing as that. You either love one and you hate the other. See, no clapping going on now. Now we're down to where we're really going to get persuaded. Who are you serving? The reason you're confused and your emotions get involved is because you don't know who you're serving. Say, well, Brother Kinsey, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know half the time what I'm doing either, but I know who I'm serving. I just feel like preaching right now. Because some of you don't need to know what to do. You need to know who you're doing it for. The light comes in when you find out. Kristen, I'm going to stand up with my hands up in the air for one reason. Jesus died on the cross. Jesus rose again on the third day. No other reason to be here. Well, my mama came to this church. Yeah, my mama did too, but I am not. I said, I'm not here for mama. I'm here for Jesus, and that's the only reason I'm here. He's the reason for the season. He's the reason for the praise. And when you find out who you serve, then the devil can knock you down and you get back up again. Have y'all ever gone to those stores where they have these clowns sitting on some kind of a balance and you hit them and they bounce back? How many of you ever, would you just admit it right now, you hit it and you were too close and it popped you right in the mouth? Huh? Anybody? Huh? Anybody as dumb as I am? How many of you hit it again real hard because it made you mad? And then you backed up and it hit you again because you got mad, you didn't think. Because if you hit it harder, it's going to bounce back more. That's exactly what you need. I'm creating the balance in your life because you're going to have to choose somebody. And if you think that you're not going to make that choice will be made for you if you don't make it for yourself. And you're not going to like the result when it's made for you, and I'd rather make it myself. And right now, you have permission by God to make that choice by declaring, I am persuaded. Who shall separate you? He gave personality to these things. He gave personality to these principalities and power. He said, who shall separate you? He didn't say what. He said, who shall separate you? He gave personality to it because there are spirits that are working against you. And that's the reason why people get myopic in their eyes, and they're farsighted and nearsighted, and their double vision and macular degeneration and retina detachment. And because the older you get, the more breakdown you get. That's the reason why some of you are wearing glasses. It's because you're getting old and you need to see. And some of us have been old all our lives, and so we understand that. But I've come to declare to you, huh? You see, the older you get, you'll slow down at them curves because you can't take them as fast as you used to. And you shouldn't be taking them fast now. You should slow down now. And how many of you don't? I've just come to declare to somebody in the house, you are not saved by accident. I'm sorry to mess up your theology, but you're not here by accident. I don't care what circumstance brought you here. You are here by the divine purpose and will of God. You didn't just accidentally get picked out of the crowd and win the lottery to come to the First Pentecostal Church. God has a plan for everybody in this house, and there are no coincidences. You didn't just stumble into this apostolic church. Everything has been orchestrated by God to do one thing, to show you who you need to serve. Not what, but who. And I've got, oh, hallelujah, his name is. Do you love him today? Do you serve him today? I say we need to be persuaded. No matter how random the chain of events in your life seemed to you, they were orchestrated by God. No matter how horrible your childhood was, no matter how miserable your marriage may be, no matter how emotionally dysfunctional or damaged you are, no matter the abuse you have sustained or the suffering you've gone through, in all these things, God can bring them together. And I've just come to tell somebody, your life is not a mistake. Man, I feel the Holy Ghost on me, and I want to speak prophetically into somebody's life. You are not a failure. I don't care if your daddy called you a mistake. There's another daddy who's got more power. As long as God's hand is in your life, God can fix any problem you've got. God can redeem you from any crisis. God saw something in you. And
But he has redeemed you by the blood of the Lamb. I wish somebody would hear me today. I said, God's got a reason for you to be here. And I'm not worshiping so you'll think I'm spiritual. I'm worshiping because I'm connected to the one who gave me my reason for being here. I'm sorry, I didn't come in here just to start this thing and then not finish it. I'm going to finish my race. I'm going to finish my course. We don't just start, and I don't just start to finish. I start to win. You say, well, only one can win. Only one can win the prize. But in God's kingdom, you are that one. No, somebody else has chosen to win. No, you're the one. Because the opposing force is not the person sitting next to you. The opposing force is the one that's within you. And you got to beat that one. That one that says you can't do it. That one that says, oh, this is a bunch of nonsense. Oh, don't clap your hands. These people are crazy. These people aren't as crazy as you think they are. These people got some good sense. These people found out who they're serving. And they're not just finding out what church do you go to? That's not as important as who are you serving. Because if you find out who you're serving, that's when the light comes in. And then your focus is him. Cindy, you don't have to worry about your surgery because you know who you're serving. And you're in the hands of an almighty God. And if God takes you now, you'll make it to heaven and you'll shout on streets of gold. That's where we're headed. I'm telling you something. There's something laid up for me. And it's a crown of righteousness because I love the fact God's coming back. Jesus is coming back. I'm in a race and I can't afford to lose. I'm in a fight and I can't afford to go down. Now I have to admit, there's been a few fights I've been in. Well, in the natural when I was younger, but also in the spiritual. More, I'm talking about the spiritual right now. Just thought I'd clarify who I'm and what I'm talking about. I got knocked down. And one time, there's been several times, I was laying on the ropes and they were just pounding my head in. Just pounding my head in. I took a full 8 counts. Huh? Took a full 8. I'm not going to wait till they get to 9. I'm sorry. I'm going to get up. I'm wobbling. I will be picking my teeth up for a week. I can't even find my teeth. Where are my teeth? And there have been times when I was wobbling and all I could do to steady myself was just latch on to the devil. And he just kept swinging at me and missing because I was just gnawing on his shoulder. I'm not letting go because I know who I'm serving. But at 10, I'm going to bounce back. I'm coming out. The night season might come, but joy is coming in the morning. No matter what happens in my life, I may falter. I may be hesitant. I might feel a little bit indecisive and unsure, sometimes vacillating and wavering, but I'm like David. My heart is fixed on thee, O Lord. Can I tell you something, church? You can't just live for God on emotional responses. If you're just waiting for the next emotional response and the great emotional feeling, then you're just another junkie that's addicted to the energy that's in this place. You got to have a made up mind that if I don't feel nothing, this is the right place for me because I know who I'm serving. Church, you're not always in the pep rally. I don't always have a motivational seminar speech for you, but I'll tell you what, if you got some grit down in your spirit, there may not be a prayer group or a coach anywhere that can speak into your life, but I'm like blind Bartimaeus. I heard a voice. I heard a noise. Who coming down the road? Oh, Jesus of Nazareth. Oh, the one that's healing all them people. Hey, Jesus, I don't know where you are. No, turn this way. Hey, Jesus, oh, no, turn that way. And they say, shut up, sit down. You don't need to respond because he don't have time for somebody like you. But he cried out the more, and Jesus said, bring him to me. And then he heals him. I think somebody needs to get up and cry out, God, I need a touch. I need a made up mind. I need to be persuaded. I am persuaded. I don't care what the devil's told you. Listen to me right now. I don't care what the devil's told you. You are more than you think you are. I don't know. I just like the way that sounded. I'm going to go back and say it again. I even got that in my notes. I don't care what the devil tells you. Oh, I wish somebody would listen to that right now. I don't care what the devil tells you. You are more than you think you are. I'm going to say something else. You have more than the devil wants you to see. And he's not going to convince you of your future because he has no future. But I'm here to tell you that with God, I didn't ask y'all to preach. Hallelujah. Y'all go ahead. That's fine. I said, when I tell you that God has declared all things are possible. If you are holding to that unchanging hand, say, but my family's in trouble. My heart's overwhelmed. My marriage is in trouble. My children are in trouble. All you need is God to speak a word. Now, here's why a lot of times people get discouraged with prophetic words is because you don't understand a prophetic word is not the end result. The prophetic word is exactly what it is. It is a word and it is a seed, and that's all. And if you don't understand that principle, people are going to speak into your life. You're going to go to Krispy Kreme, and you're going to get home and expect it to be fulfilled. And then when it's not, you're going to come back to church crying, saying, I'm never going to listen to another prophetic word because it didn't come to pass. And that's the reason why, is because you have a misunderstanding of what it is. A word is just that. It's a word. That's really deep, isn't it? It's a seed. If you don't plant it, there's an incubation period. There's a waiting time. If you don't plant it in the right soil, it will not grow. You say, well, I don't know what to do. Build you an altar right there. Dig a well. Get some water flowing. Because you're going to need water to get that seed to grow. How many of you grow gardens? You don't ever water it? How many of you grow gardens? You don't ever weed it? You just put the seed in the ground, just throw it on the ground and wait till it comes up? Or did you plow field? What'd you do? You plowed. You know when to do it. You got to do it at the right time. Certain seeds got to be planted certain times of the year, and there's a certain incubation period of their maturing and coming to the process of full growth. Sometimes it comes up to the ear and then, just a little plant here and then a little root there and then it keeps growing until it becomes what it's supposed to be. Huh? But you don't have patience for that, do you? Because you want that microwave stuff. I put the seed in the microwave and it burned up. Caught fire. I almost burnt the house down. Because you don't put a seed in a microwave. Because it don't grow in that kind of atmosphere. But it'll grow if you'll plant it in a red hot Holy Ghost church service. God, I don't know when you're going to do it, but you said you were going to do it, and here's my well. You say, well, what are you going to do until you get the grain? Even if you get the grain, you can't eat grain. You can't eat wheat. Just harvested from the field, you got to cook it. You got to treat it right. You got to put some leaven with it. You got to make bread out of it. Well, what am I going to do? I'm going to eat the crumbs till I get the loaf. Hallelujah. So if Brother Brown gets blessed, I know there's going to be some crumbs falling on the table somewhere. And I'm just going to get up underneath the table and gather up some crumbs, and I'm just going to feed. Why? Why? Because I know where the crumb came from. Hallelujah. Oh, I said, I know where the crumb came from. It didn't come from the devil. It came from the loaf. And I know this is really deep for you, but whatever that loaf is, that's what the crumb is. Oh, hallelujah. And the same power in the loaf is in the crumb. And if you can get the crumb that falls from the master's table, you've got your miracle. I want you to stand. Musicians, come. Play softly, please. Just here to tell you that what God has spoken to you, He's going to do it. I'm going to say it again. Some of you have become faint-hearted because you've wavered in your confidence and assurance, and you didn't know whether God would fulfill His blessing in your life. There's some things it took years for God to bring to pass. And there were times I despaired of life itself. But there's one thing I've never changed, that I am fully persuaded in who I serve. I love the United Pentecostal Church. They've been good to me. Love all the preachers, all the saints of God that I've preached to through the years. I love them too. But I don't serve the United Pentecostal Church. I pastor this church, and I love every one of you. First Pentecostal Church, y'all been good to me, and I thank you for that. But I'm not here to serve the First Pentecostal Church. No, I serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And what I do for Him. I do it for Him. He's my rock. He's my shield. He's the shade on my right hand. He's my buckler. He's my fortress. He's my foundation. He is my chief cornerstone. Everybody else may have rejected Him, but He's my chief cornerstone. And I don't mean to say that to offend anybody. I say that for only one reason, is because it's true. And that's what brings light. It's my single focus. Everything I do for Him. Everything. Then that's what causes the river to flow. That's what causes and lets the light in. That casts out the darkness. So if He puts me on the cross, that's fine, because I know there's a resurrection coming. If He leads me into the valley, He'll be there. He's led me into the valley. He's put me in a wilderness several times. I said, okay, what did I not learn in the last wilderness? He said, plenty. And I said, I thought I learned all of that. He said, no, not as much as you thought. So I go back in. And then I say, when am I coming out? He said, you're praying so good, I think I'll leave you in there. Okay, that's fine. So, but I guarantee you that if you'll walk up here right now with assurance and confidence that you're serving Jesus, that you're coming to receive the Holy Ghost, not because we Pentecostals or because of
This church teaches it and has taught it for all these years. But you come up here because Jesus wants to fill you with the Holy Ghost. You'll walk out of here with the Holy Ghost. Yes, you will. You'll walk out of here with the Holy Ghost. So I want every head bowed and every eye closed. We're gonna repent right now. We're gonna ask that the Lord, and God's gonna renew somebody here today. He really is. He's gonna renew somebody here today. I want everybody in this house, I want you to repent right now. I want you to say, God, I want to turn from my wicked ways. I want power over my temptations and my sin, and I want to walk with you in victory. I want to walk with you in peace. I want to walk with you and my sins be washed away by baptism in the wonderful name of Jesus. I want you, Lord, to know that I'm going to serve you with all of my soul, mind, and strength. I am persuaded that neither life nor death, nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. The only one that can do that is me. That carnal mind, that carnal thinking, that wrong kind of thinking can always separate you from the Lord. But not any other creature. Their thinking can't separate you. Only my thinking can separate me. They can voice their opinion. That opinion may affect me emotionally. I may feel a tweak, but I have to give that permission. My permission, the key is my persuasion of who am I serving. That's it. If I'm serving him, then everything else is off. It's not able to hurt me. Jesus is the only one that's got permission and power to do his work in my life. So I want you to step out from where you are standing. I want you to walk up here to the front. I want you to say, Jesus, I need you in my life right now. And if you need a renewing in the Holy Ghost, there are people here that have not received a renewing in quite a while. You haven't spoken in tongues. Your well is dry and you need a refreshing. You need a new touch. You need a fresh touch. You need a fresh commitment in your heart and a fresh understanding of who you are in Christ and to walk before him in peace. I want you to step out by faith. I want you to step out by faith and begin to believe with all of your heart that what God has spoken in your life, he's going to do it. That what God has declared in you, he is going to fulfill it. He loves you. Oh, you need a renewing of the Holy Ghost. I am persuaded.
We hope you enjoyed this message. Please reach out to us if you have any questions. We can be found at firstpent.org. That's firstpent.org. If you're ever in Pensacola, Florida, we hope you visit us. Be blessed in Jesus' name.